Eye on Careers.
In association with LeMoon.com. Jobs, courses, and all things career.
This is Eye on Careers, the career clinic, charting your next move.
Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips. And it seems like our next guest, Kareem, who is a dot-commer, is lost in cyberspace and he is just finding his way to the studio. So Mr. John Davidson was nice enough to join us for another segment. John, welcome back to Eye on Careers.
You can always rely on the lawyer to stick around.
So it's like I was saying, I hope we can have you on again sometime soon. And my wish was granted. So
it was very soon.
I should have wished for $1 billion.
You get what you want a lot. Yeah.
If I had $1 billion, I could buy your business. Apparently, this was the initial offer that you made.
That was the offer back then.
now it's gone up.
That was 15 minutes ago.
The markets are up. They are appreciating. That's great. I saw, you know, in your story, one of the big themes for me, and for those just joining us, John was working as a lawyer for most of his life, and in 2008 decided to start his own business, and just before the world's biggest financial crisis in the last century, and he pushed on through. Today he has an international footprint. Where are your offices? Maybe you can tell us just to benchmark the business size.
Yeah, we've got Dubai, Geneva, and Mauritius.
It's a nice mix.
Yeah, I mean, people think it's a lifestyle choice. It's there is more to it than that. Geneva, there is a lot of private clients out of the Middle East who do spend a lot of time in Switzerland, and we service their needs. And in Mauritius, it's a huge offshore center. All business going in, not all, but most of business going into East Africa and India is done through companies formed in Mauritius and is done mostly by investment out of the Middle East. So there is method to the madness.
Absolutely. But so what we were actually looking at, what does it take to really be a success? And I think one of the big themes in your story was never giving up. You know, the fact that you just pressed on even when you felt like quitting.
No, for sure. I mean, I'm going to pick out one of my words again and say you actually develop this crocodile skin and you become slightly agoraphobic. By that I mean, you know, you get into an environment where
you have a crocodile skin and you have an agoraphobia.
Yeah. Just stay with me. One is formulaic of the other. No, the fact of it is your entire life is about making your business work. So reaching out to people, whether it's on social media or whether it's actually in person. So you actually then retract back into yourself at the end of a working day or a working week, and you sink much further down than you might have done otherwise. If you'd pulled yourself to heights during a normal working day, you go home and you kind of settle down and you're fine. But you pull yourself to heights when the entire risk is on your shoulder, then at the end of the working week, you descend quite a long way down. The emotional energy is all gone. And I think people out there may kind of, you know, resonate with that. If you've got your own business or you're in an environment where you're carrying the risk of the business on your shoulders, you may feel emotionally exhausted from time to time. And the one tip I can give, and that I did on many occasions, is you've just got to pick yourself back up, get back out on the streets, keep on doing it. There are many times where you really do not want to, but you've got to do it.
So the agoraphobia is really keep your feet on the ground, don't let yourself float up. Bigger highs mean bigger lows.
Yeah, and you really don't want to talk to another person. You don't want to reach out to another person. You've spoken to 50 people that week. You've done your pitch. You've had your smiley face, your game face. And you've kind of just relaxed and resiled back into your normality. And you don't want to go back out there again because it's exhausting. But you've got to keep on doing it. You've got to just create this environment.
Keep running and keep going. And I think Kareem is here now, actually. He's made it to the studio. So let's see if he can find the microphone. Kareem, how are you? Welcome to Eye on Careers.
Hello, Shane. Very well, thanks.
Now your mic's on. That was my fault. Sorry. So welcome, Kareem. Welcome to Eye on Careers.
Thanks for having me again.
You finally made it here. We were just talking here with John Davidson, the importance of having a crocodile skin and having agoraphobia as critical elements in the success. But of course, I'm making funny. He was staying on more on how important it is to never quit. Where does that fall into your story?
So basically, first of all, I want to thank John for making up for me because I was a bit late, right? Can you hear me clearly right now?
No, I have to speak into the microphone, but you know. Right, good.
Okay, beautiful. So basically, can you please wrap up what John said again? Because I was like kind of having the first time excitement on the radio show.
Okay. I think, well, John, tell us, what are some
you're
going
to ask me to remember?
He's not in a position. The lawyer will not make a definitive statement at this time. But I think he's, you know, a big part of his thing is, you know, he started the crisis and, you know, not quitting was a big part of it. I think the other big theme in your story was the focus, that you stayed focused on a certain segment and didn't quit. The other one was picking good people to work with, I think, and really building the relationship side of the business. The motto, I think, there was retaining a client is much more lucrative or profitable than finding a new client.
You listened and you remembered. That's very impressive. That is, I couldn't have put it better myself.
Thank you. So there you go. See,
beautiful. Okay. So I'm happy that you're going to listen to me too. So okay, I have to choose my words very wisely, right? Okay, beautiful. So when it comes to my story, I think like when you look at a business from my perspective, from an online entrepreneur perspective, You always have to have in mind that when you fail, I'm just going to start with a failure story, because we always talk about success and people just like go crazy about starting up things that succeed at the end. However, like 9 out of 10 startups fail, right? So we just need to make them understand that failure is something that they have to embrace and they have to learn from, and they just can hit back the climax with the learnings.
What's the biggest failure you've ever had in your life?
Okay, so at the age of 25, the biggest failure that I'm going to talk about is going to be a bit funny, but it's going to be a bit emotional too. Okay, so I was 19 years old, right? And I was a university student that was trying to make up his success story, seeing all this like Mark Zuckerberg stories and all the like 20-year-old online community makers. What I had in mind is always starting up an online website from scratch that's going to be sustainable, that's going to be like making a lot of revenue and so on. So my friends and I found a pain point in the market, in the university market, in our niche. So we were the customers ourselves, so we were really passionate about it. So we came up with a website where students were rating their teachers for the coming semesters, so that the coming semesters can have an idea which teacher they should pick for the classes.
That's good. That's good. So if you didn't like a professor, you could just slam them on.
Exactly, this. Exactly. But it's you know, with web two
please professorslam.com.
Yeah. Was it like that face smash? But this is professor doc smash.
Okay, so we were not that harsh. We were just like ratemyprofessor.com kind of thing in Turkey. So we were kind of cloning ratemyprofessor from US and bringing it to Turkey, right? So we thought that we had the best practices, we had everything in mind, we had like the spirit, we had the passion, but what we lacked was experience, basically. So we started building the product and it was up and running. We were really excited, and some of my friends were really well connected, so they did know a couple of newspaper like journalists, I'm talking about good selling, like a couple of million basically circulations per day newspapers, and we just reached out to the influential bloggers, like all the famous Facebook people around us, to create a buzz, to create a word of mouth for our website, because it was up and running, so we had to do something about it. And then we just like were everywhere, basically, like on the newspapers, on the Facebook like main page of these influential pages, and then the bloggers just talked about us, and in 1 week we saw a tenfold increase in our visits. So we were really happy. We were celebrating every day. So that's what...
Yeah, but when you start out, you have like 3 people, and then you have 30, then you had tenfold, right?
No, okay. Just my...
We're wise to your statistic analysis there, buddy.
My university had around like 3,000 people. I just like asked each one of them to try it out. So we had like 3,000 visitors already. So like not on a daily basis, but like we just started a week ago before the marketing, right? So we had the product up and running. So we had to make it happen. And in 1 week, we had just like a tenfold increase, which we were really proud of. But the following week, we just like figured out that the number of visits just reduced to half of what it used to be when we started. So we were amazed. We were like speechless, just looking at each other with blank faces. We didn't know what's happening. So because like we never basically encountered failure rather than just missing the lunch or dinner.
So you went up and then you dropped, which is exactly what you were talking about, your agoraphobia. Going up and then dropping down, wasn't it?
You're absolutely right. And the key is to get up again. But it's interesting. If you have a .com, which goes from 30 to 3,000, isn't that immediately worth $1 billion?
Well, that's what we thought so. But it's all about the retention. So when you have the 30,000 for one day or for one week, it doesn't make any sense. But we didn't know it back then. So we just like took a step back and we just like were depressed. We were 19, right? We were depressed. Like I didn't leave the house except for dining or just like...
Because your users exams. Went down. That's the life of a dot-commer. So you basically couldn't leave the house for how long?
For let's say a couple of weeks. Let's not be no more way. Dramatic than that.
A couple weeks?
Well, for eating out and like for the exams, I needed to go out. But just I never talked to anyone. I was like sleep deprived. Just like just you know, failure in my culture is not something like, you know, acceptable. So in Turkey, if you fail, you
no,
just
but
like
Karim, we're making light of it. But you're right. You're hitting on a real theme. I mean, that is a great example, because it's a very personal thing, failure. And you know, we can look at it and we can take our own view. But I get where you're coming from, because if you fail and you feel that personally, your entire emotional being just drops like a stone. You just don't exactly. want to be anywhere other than just at the bottom of the lake, and that's where you've got to try and pick yourself up.
Exactly. But at the age of 19, you just like are too emotional, so you don't have the rationale. Like you don't have the reasoning to just like hit back. So what I did was just like finding a couple of experience.com people and talking to them. So they told me that the like failures are much more important than successes, because they teach you something, right? And they just like told me in Winston Churchill's words, failure is not fatal, success is not final. It's the courage to continue that counts. And it was like a very well said quote. So I just like have it as my basically like in my mindset from that moment on.
I'm glad you have an English leader as your main quote.
So you know, that is amazing. So anybody out there, if you've lost your job, if you're getting knocked down, if things aren't going your way, you should get down on your knees and thank God, because you've just been given the first step in your success story. This is Ion Careers. We're going to be right back in just a minute with two entrepreneurs who've beaten the odds, who've walked through the darkness, and have created successful businesses from scratch. Hello and welcome back to Ion Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips, and we are having an entrepreneur powwow here. We have Karim, who's the founder of Carmudi.com, one of the leaders in selling vehicles online as well as space shuttles. And we also have John Davidson, a man who started Davidson and Company, his own law firm with offices in Geneva, Dubai, and Mauritius. He's also the chairman of the British Business Group. John, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
And Karim, welcome back.
Thanks, Shane.
Karim, how do you actually say your last name? So, you know, we never got to talk this because you were a bit late getting here, but I don't know how to pronounce it, so I've been just calling you Karim.
Yeah, it's a big issue in this part of the world. It's Kuyucu.
Kuyucu.
Yeah, they say Kuyucu or Kuyusu, like depending on where I am.
I didn't, though. I said it right the first time. So. I strategically positioned myself for the win there. But, you know, this .com space is amazing. You have Uber.com, started in 2008. Today it's worth $18.2 billion. Dropbox, founded in 2009. Today worth $10 billion. And so many more that just keep coming up. And so today we're actually seeing the first, you know, cadre of sub-30 billionaires. What is this trend all about, and is it going to continue? Is it just a short spike and soon these dot-com businesses will level out and it'll be a thing of the history, or is this just the beginning of the billion-dollar century?
So if you look at the trends, it's just the beginning, I would say, as like my starting sentence, right? Because like we are in an era where like the internet penetration has not just made it to its 100% to its fullest yet. We have many emerging markets where people are still like very offline, not connected at all. So, for example, Facebook buying WhatsApp, like, what was the main reason behind it? They just, like, wanted to reach out to the emerging markets with that strategic movement, right? So the consolidation of wealth is kind of making me question the fact that if the startups are going to like blossom from scratch, or the already like existing and current ones are going to basically build on their wealth. So that's the main question I have for the time being.
So you think that as an entrepreneur now, you have a golden moment where the consolidation hasn't happened. You can strike gold and make it, versus, you know, as we move down, they as soon as a good dot-com business starts hitting stride, it'll be snapped up by, you know, the Googles or the Facebooks, who will start to consolidate cyberspace.
Very true. That's what I think. So we have to hit it as soon as possible, so we can just like be one of those consolidating powers.
So world domination. Sorry, John.
Well, will it be the case? I mean, I'm speaking from a layman's position. Will it be the case that you see in some of these modernistic movies that Big Brother, and Big Brother may in 50 years' time, it may be Google, it may be Facebook, but it may be Big, you know, it will be the Big Brother, the 1984 George Orwell Big Brother, where it controls and looks at everyone. I mean, it seems at the moment Google has almost gone that way. You know, it has full accessibility to client profiles of how many a billion people. It's worrying if you look at it like that.
Well, just it sounds scary. Yeah, I feel that. I have a lot of friends that are trying to be as least connected as possible, so they are not like going to be tracked by Google or CIA or Facebook or whatever it is.
I don't know. You know, if you should be hanging out with friends like that.
So that's
really?
No, they just,
you know.
So that's Google, Facebook, and CIA.
You know, if one of my friends is like, I'm really concerned. I need to lose the CIA. I need to give them the slip. You really shouldn't, you know, hang out with him. Yeah, it's just a suggestion. I don't know. We have a lawyer here. What do you think?
I think all this .com, you know, I think it's amazing how WikiLeaks became so viral simply because of the .com boom, because of the sheer penetration of people around the world. Otherwise, it would have been a guy simply with a bunch of documents sitting in a room trying to fax them around the world, you know?
Could have done that. But, you know, do you think this digital revolution, this dot-com revolution, is actually going to emancipate society, is the next lever or stepping stone in our evolution?
Well, I think we are going to talk about it in 10 years of time. Right now, we are at the stage of that evolution. It hasn't ended yet. It's like at the stage. But I'm expecting a totally new technology to come up and like just invade the dot-com space very soon, like in 5 years' time.
A new technology which will supersede the internet.
Well, I don't have much knowledge to just like come up with, you know, like cool names and so on. But I would say like a hologramic, you know, impact on technology and so on and so forth. But dot-com business has been evolving since like 1990s, and we are in such a stage where we are consuming very, very rapidly. So we have to be aware of that.
So how vulnerable is Facebook? Because when you look at it, you have 44% of the Fortune 500, you know, out of the traditional brick and mortar companies, are exchanged from year to year. So from 2015, 44% of the companies that are listed on the Fortune 500 today will not be there in 2015, January 1st. How vulnerable is Facebook? Is it possible that they could become obsolete?
It's definitely possible. Like there is no such a statement that every single business, even if they are like online and have a very good blueprint on the community, is gonna last forever. But for example, today, just Facebook, you know, that there was a couple of login issues, like millions of people were unable to connect to Facebook, and tomorrow their first step is going to be Facebook again. So it just shows you how sustainable, how basically like in our life Facebook is for the time being. And like and when you think about like the conspiracy theories or like scary scenarios, in 100 years we are going to have maybe like 200 million dead people on Facebook too. But it's going to be the people, not the Facebook itself, I would say.
I agree. Isn't it just a modus operandi? Isn't it it's accessibility to individuals? It doesn't actually matter really what the product is. But if Facebook is the first product out of the tracks, if you like, and then it creates a product and a billion people sign into it, Facebook can evolve and become anything. It just so happens that it penetrates a billion people.
Exactly. Just like think about Facebook's last acquisitions. Just help me out there. Like Instagram, WhatsApp, and a couple of like other software companies. So they are basically invading all the space. They are just like establishing their roots in such a way that they are going to be sustainable for the rest of the era.
So tell us a little bit about Carmudi. And when you talk about invading, it looks like your strategy is to clearly target the emerging markets, that you have an adversity to the what would originally be attractive markets of the Londons and the Singapores and the Hong Kongs and the New Yorks. You're going into Bangladesh, Cameroon, Ghana, Indonesia, Mexico, Nigeria, Pakistan, Philippines, Vietnam. These are places where your regular Fortune 500s will be very cautious to tread.
Very true. So basically, I'm the founder of Carmudi Middle East. We have 13 different operations, and I'm responsible for the three of them, which are Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, and Qatar for the time being. We have plans to expand. But like the global strategy of Carmudi has been determined by Rocket Internet, the German giants. Basically, we are backed up by the world's largest internet incubator. And when you look at like the way they work, the way we work, we just like see a market gap. We just like see a proven business model in an already developed market, and see the market trends in emerging market. How the internet penetration basically increases. How the demographics, how the young age is populated there, and basically we make the move and execute fast and invade the market, win the market. And when the market evolves into a developed market, Rocket Internet is gonna already be there.
So this is actually an interesting model of a lot of businessmen and entrepreneurs here, where you're saying, and I think you were saying this, John, you know, I'm not going to be that huge business. I'm an SME player. So, you know, you can go, you know, if you go to London, you're going toe-to-toe with some very stiff competition. You go into Lagos, Nigeria, or you go into Accra, Ghana, or some of these other regions, there's less, it's much lighter competition that you're facing. This is a successful, not only for dot-comers, but you can see that, for example, Landmark Group, Shoemart, they have 350 stores. They're not interested in opening in any of the traditional markets. They're much more interested in the emerging markets.
Well, the competition is absolutely... It's exponential in the developed markets. You know, if you want to place yourself in an environment where you're going to go against guys who've been in the market for 10, 15 years, go for it, but you're setting yourself too much of a hurdle. You know, go into East Africa and Middle Africa, Sub-Saharan Africa now. It's not the difficult high hurdle entry that it was maybe 10 years ago. You know, that people are doing business there. People use the UAE as a central hub to go into East Africa now. So it's quite accessible. And you're right, the corporates can't go there because they require a board decision. They've got shareholder sanctions, etc. So if you're nimble and you're flexible and you're quick to get to those markets, you can take advantage.
Agility being one of the big themes here. Tell us exactly, what does Carmudi do?
Agility is actually like what I love most about our organization. So Carmudi is an online car classifieds website. We are the world's largest growing, like fastest growing, largest car classifieds. We right now have more than 100,000 listings on like throughout the world. When it comes to Carmudi Middle East, our end game is basically like to become one-stop online platform for everything related to cars. So we have two types of users. One is our partners who are publishing their listings and reaching to their target audience through our marketing methods. And the second type is the internet users, is people who are looking for their dream cars. So we serve as a communication channel for our partners, who are the car dealers and certified car dealerships, like brand holders. And we serve as like the means to an end for the people who are looking to buy their dream cars.
So, and do you compete with that? I think there's another website, sellanycar.com.
Ah, yeah, actually, sellanycar.com is a beautiful startup, first of all, I would like to say. But we don't compete with them, because what they do is they buy the car from the customer and they sell it to the businesses. However, what we do is we basically publish the cars from the businesses and be a bridge between the businesses and the customers. So basically, we are complementary, I would say.
What business? So they're selling the used car to a used car dealership.
Exactly. So they're buying the car from you, from me, from John, and basically selling it to the car dealers.
Ah, okay. So it's complimentary. So you're friends with Sajin Yalcin?
Yeah, Sajin, I have met him. I think he's an amazing person. And like their business development manager is like my very good friend. So I think we are going to have some partnerships in
the future. You're snapping up his business development manager? You're headhunting his people?
No.
That's what you just said. You were like, alluding to that? It sounded like you're alluding to snapping up his guys.
Well, no. I would never.
Now you're just looking at the ground. Nobody, I'm just joking.
Shane, he said it was called complimentary. So I think it was like a code share of
the people. He's going to buy him out, I think. You know? There you go.
You never know now, what Rocket Internet does.
Better invest and sell any car quickly if Sajin lets you. So this is the story of Karim, the founder of Carmudi in the Middle East, Qatar, and UAE. And we're also accompanied here by John Davidson, the founder of Davidson & Company, a law firm with offices in Geneva, Dubai, and Mauritius, giving their insights in what it takes to be successful as an entrepreneur. Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips, and we are here with Karim, the founder of Carmudi in the UAE, Saudi Arabia, and Qatar, which is a dot-com business which sells everything related to cars. And we are also joined by John Davidson, the founder of Davidson and Company, a law firm with offices in Geneva, Dubai, and Mauritius. Karim, welcome back to Eye on Careers.
Thanks for having me back.
John, welcome back.
Thank you.
So when nobody can come on the show without being asked the famous question, what is the secret to your success?
Eye on Careers now reveals the secrets to success.
So Karim, what is the secret to your success?
Well, if I tell it right now, it's not going to be a secret anymore, huh? But like, here we go. Okay, so I might just like talk about the hard skills that are really accessible to everyone. Like I might just talk about like being analytical, like coming up with a structured approach to every single problem and so on. But I think they're really easy to get, like easy to acquire. Like you can just like Google anything and you can just have it in a couple of weeks or like months time. So what my secret is, the soft skills that I have, and I just like always set my goals according to my soft skills. So self-discipline is the most important virtue, I think, that makes you successful in life. Here comes a story. Like it's about like one of my best friends. Basically, we went to high school together. We just like studied for the exams together. We just like were together all around our teenager years, right? The only difference was I was just like playing for the school teams, and he was a Turkish national for sailing team. And like that year, that specific year that I'm talking about right now, he was preparing for the Turkish championship. So his only aim was to win it. So every single weekend, 104 weekends out of like that year, he just like was supposed to attend that training session. And for attending that, he was supposed to wake up at 6 a.m. on every single Saturday and Sunday, which means he was supposed to wake up at 5 a.m., go to the bus stop, take the bus, and go all the way to Çeşme, our summer place, to start that training session. So on like 27th of January, which is my birthday, we just went out with friends. And he was there because he's like one of my closest friends, right? His name is Reshat, by the way. I'm saying hi to him if he's listening to. And like all of a sudden, at around 11 p.m., we were having the laughs and so on. He just like approaches me and like asks for permission to leave. I got a bit upset. I was like, man, come on, it's my birthday. It's just once in a year. Like, would it really matter if you attend tomorrow's training session? Like, what's the difference gonna be? And he just looked me in the eye and told me, the difference between me skipping tomorrow's training and attending every single training this year is the difference between any sailor on the sea and the Turkish champions. Well, it just, you know, that's when I got speechless, and he left, and like leaving me with goosebumps. It was like kind of a turning point in my life. So you should never compromise. You should set hard to achieve goals, like just hit them. That's my secret.
Eye on Careers.
In association with LeMoon.com, jobs, courses, and all things career.
I like that. Never compromise. And sorry?
Yeah, like one thing here. Like, for example, if you are going to go to the gym and if your goal for that day is to hit 300 push-ups, you have to hit it. Like, if you make...
In a week?
I can do three push-ups without my knees touching at all.
without your knees touching at all.
Yeah, not at all.
You're like the good Canadian push-up champion,
I'm not
right?
I'm not joking. I'm not even lying. I just go. I can do the all three at once too. I don't break. You can break in between.
We'll see it in the break then.
You don't do like one per day.
Well, you know. So it's the discipline thing. That's the key that exactly. people lack. You know. I saw a good quote that said, you know, I don't quit when I'm tired. I quit when I'm done.
That's very true. When I'm maybe dead.
When you're maybe dead. Will Smith said, you know, you have to kill me to stop me. You know, that he pushes himself that far. Is it that intense? I mean, does the successful entrepreneur have to be, you know, that extreme, that bipolar, that, you know, this is life or death?
I don't think so. It's more than life or death. No, I'm just kidding. No, it's like we are... Yeah, what I would say is like you never should be like too focused to just like miss on the opportunities, miss on like the market trends. You should be always like open-minded to adjust yourself to the market trends and always like keep your eyes open to anything going on around. So that's it.
I think your inclination should be to go that extra length, and over time if you manage that and dilute that simply because of the way your life is going, that's great. But you can't not have it and then push yourself somewhere you can't go. You've got to be able to go there and rein it back. So yes, you've got to be able to go. It's got to be able to be life and death. You've got to be able to go there, and if you want to rein it back a bit, you can, but you can't go the other way.
That's very true. Like here when I was talking about like aiming for 300 push-ups. And when you come like to the 299, and if you stop, you should always know that like there is someone in the next door, in the next competition building on the like next floor doing 300 that day. So you should always have it in mind.
So what kind of work-life balance do you experience? Because I think when we watch the dot-com movies, the guys are like logged in. They don't leave for, you know, days, and you have to eat Slurpees and Pizza Pops.
Not like that's not my lifestyle. I really am a health freak, so I always like eat good food. I'm not like a fast food person, and like I always make time for things that basically clear my mind and give me happiness. Because like you have to be always clear minded to focus on the things that's gonna make the difference. If you want to find innovations, differentiations for your business to make that like extra land for you, then you always have to have a like clear mind. And if you just like go at extremities and like work for 7 days, 24 hours, then your brain burns at the end.
So you don't work 7 days a week?
I do work 7 days a week. Like I'm always like, you know, just connected, but not 24 hours a day.
Okay, but so you have to work 7 days a week, but not 24 hours a day. So you sleep for 4 hours or what?
No, it depends. Like when I need like
sometimes
8 hours
five.
Of sleep, when I need 8 hours of sleep, I'm just going to do it.
But if you adopt the old-fashioned analysis that work is sitting at a desk, work is doing X, Y, and Z, then yeah, you can say you don't work as you used to. But now if you adopt the modern analysis that work is being online, contactable, thinking, doing, talking, writing, you know, you're exactly. doing that 24/7. You're on your handheld. You're doing it all the time. You never stop work.
But I think is a lot of people say it's what you want out of life, but I don't think that's the important thing. The important thing is, you know, what are you willing to sacrifice? And when you look at the people who make it like yourself or like yourself, you know, you have sacrifice. You sacrifice your job. You sacrificed a lot of things. You put it on the line. You also sacrifice. At the end of the day, is that just people are not willing to make the sacrifices necessary to get the win. Your friend sacrificed every weekend to become a Turkish champion.
Exactly. That's what it takes. Like we talked about it. Like it's never compromising at the end of the day. And like my elders, my mentors, like always tell me that they wish they had the wisdom they currently have at my age, and they had the energy they used to have at my age now. And right now I have the energy, motivation, and all the know-how from like all around the world, because we are like living in a world where information is easily accessible. So I just like never regret for whatever I'm doing for the time being.
Now, a lot of these .com businesses are like nothing we've ever seen before, and unfortunately, we don't have an accountant on the show, but we have taken a few stabs at them in the last hour. you know, these new .com businesses, they don't really have any revenues. They don't really have any assets. They don't really have anything. In many instances, they don't even have an office, but they're worth, you know, millions and billions of dollars. What is this? Are we going to see a massive correction at a certain point where these private equity is going to be like, maybe we shouldn't be investing in these companies with no revenues?
Okay, so I'm going to object to like them not having assets. Like they don't have revenues. I'm like totally agreeing on that. But when it comes to assets, like company just is not supposed to have like a land or like, you know, the revenue generation and so on. It's the team they built. And it's the user database that they kind of attracted to the website. And nowadays, like as we talked about, like my biggest failure was about retention. And these billion-dollar non-revenue-making startups are all about the user database, the loyal customers that come and use them every single day, and also the team that's behind the product. That's what how I would summarize it.
But the team is a liability because the salaries, right? That's very, you know, when the accountants aren't here. But
yeah, very true. Like from an accountant's perspective,
I can confirm. Yes, they do take salaries. Yes.
Okay, so we got the confirmation from the lawyer side, so I can go on. Like I would say, I wouldn't see them as liabilities. Like you should invest in people to like make the best teams for the best companies. And in like today's world, it's really hard to find the best people because everybody is allured by the success stories of entrepreneurs. So everyone is chasing their own dreams, trying to start up their own business. So if you can convince someone that's like smarter, sharper, like more influential than you to join your startup, then it's golden. It's basically priceless.
So try to find smarter people.
Please do.
Yeah. And they seem to then go and start their own startup after your startup. I mean, it's pretty viral your industry because everybody is an entrepreneur simply because they're in the industry.
True. So you have to come up with like smart ways to work around it. So maybe like while you have an employment contract, you have to just like let them know that they cannot go into the same industry with you, having their own company. But I don't have any problems with my colleagues starting up their own businesses. I would be their biggest supporter.
This is the story of Karim, the founder of Carmoody.com. He started it up in the UAE, in Saudi Arabia and Qatar. And John Davidson, who started up a law firm called Davidson & Company with offices in Geneva, Dubai, and Mauritius. We are hearing what it takes to be successful, and they're going to be giving us more of their lessons learned on the road to the top in just a minute. Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips, and we are listening to the story of Karim. He has started Carmoody.com in the UAE, in Saudi Arabia and Qatar. And we're also joined by another entrepreneur who's not in the .com space, but is a lawyer, John Davidson, who started Davidson & Company with offices in Geneva, Dubai, and Mauritius. But for those of you just joining us, let's take a listen to Karim's background.
This is Eye on Careers, Executive CV.
Karim Kohuchu is the founder and managing director of Carmoody Middle East. Though a qualified industrial engineer, he chose to take the path of entrepreneurship, and to bolster his business fundamentals, he undertook an entrepreneurship program in Babson in the USA. With a wealth of knowledge under his belt, Karim set up the Turkish division of Rocket Internet, the world's leading internet startup incubator. Following this, he joined foodonclick.com to start the company's Qatari operations from scratch, building a market-leading company within a year. Highly driven by the spirit of entrepreneurship and always seeking more responsibility, Karim took on the decision to establish Carmoody Middle East. The recent launch of Carmoody operations in Saudi Arabia and Qatar are testimonial to his success in this region. However, on days when Karim is not crunching numbers or making strategic decisions, he can be found dabbling in sports such as windsurfing and skiing. He also likes to devote his time to his passion for cars. He is an avid watcher of Formula One, and his hobbies also extend to that of filmmaking and script writing.
Karim, welcome to Eye on Careers.
Thanks, Jane.
So, for those who's joining us, you were talking, I think both you and John. John, welcome back as well.
Thank you.
You know, first of all, the key themes of how hard it is, how never to quit. You talked about the importance of self-discipline, that's one of the main driving factors of a success story, the ability to keep pushing yourself forward. And I think you had a nice quote from Winston Churchill.
Exactly. So basically in his exact words, failure is not fatal. Success is not final. It's the courage to continue that counts.
The drive to keep pushing on. What advice do you have for anybody who wants to go out there and make $1 billion on the internet?
Well, it's not that easy, so I don't want to take any responsibility on that. But I would say they should go out of their comfort zone. That's where they learn and grow. So basically, anyone can swim with the tide, right? And you should just like go and explore the unexplored at the end of the day. That's how you make the differentiation. And when you fail or when you cannot make it, it's not the product's fault. It's not your co-founder's fault. It's not the marketing department's fault. It's your own fault. So you should embrace failure and learn from it. And implement the best practices for your next venture and make it happen.
But sometimes it is the other guy's fault, though. Especially
it is, but you hired them.
Sometimes it's like, what are you doing? You know, it's not always your fault.
But I would.
Isn't that a bit harsh? You take it all personally, huh?
Not really.
No, but that's what the context was.
Right? Yeah, the context was all about it. But come on, I'm pretending to be one.
Yeah. So failure as the stepping stone to success, that without failure, you can't really have success. And those people who never experience failure, they're not pushing themselves hard enough.
They never tried, basically.
Yeah. Failure is a learning curve. Failure can come in many different forms. It could be a day-to-day failure. It could be a breakdown of systems, a breakdown of communications. I don't think people should foresee failure as a fundamental destruction of the entire organization. You know, failure, it's hurdles you knock down, you overcome, and you learn that lesson. You learn that business lesson, and then that doesn't happen again. And the more experience you have, the more lessons you learn. You know, you can't read this in any book. You know, you visualize it in your mind, you remember what happened, and you just kind of take a different route the next time.
I had an executive, you know, very high-performing executive. I said, okay, what do you have any success mantras or anything? And he said, you know, one of my success mantras is fail fast and fail often. And I thought that was amazing. I said, fail fast and fail often. He goes, yeah. He goes, you know, don't focus on the win. Just, you know, be ready to fail fast, fail often, and then you won't get pulled down by it. And then the other great example I like is Jack Canfield, I think, who wrote Chicken Soup for Your Soul. Do you know how many times he was rejected by publishers? And I think the book has sold 400 million copies or 500 million copies now. So, you know, he made a buck or two on the book. Guess how many times he was rejected?
It is a guess.
John speaking, by the way.
It could be anything. I'm going to look in your face. I'm going to say 7 times.
That was a seven? That was
seven.
A seven?
That was a seven look.
So 15 times.
15. Okay. I changed my look there. 144 times.
100.
So he got rejected 144 times. And the 145th guy said, fine, I'll publish the book. Becomes like the massive bestseller. And when he started his company, he was making $8,000 a year. And then he said, like you said, he just started his goal. So his goal was, okay, well, if I could make $100,000. So then, you know, as he wrote, and then he made $100,000, then he's like, let me make my first million, and da 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 da, and it goes on and on and on. And now he's like, I don't know, I'm going to sell my book to every human on the planet.
And J.K. Rowling already has sold her book to every human on the planet, and she wrote it in a cafeteria in Edinburgh.
On napkins.
Yeah. On napkins, yeah, and no one would publish it.
So here the key takeaway I would say is never take no as an answer, because like I think every no is one step closer to a yes at the end of the day.
So imagine if you put it in a box on the 143rd refusal. I mean, how frustrating would that
be? I would run away.
I mean, he must have had a goal. He was like, I'm going to get 200 rejections before I quit. But, you know, it's funny that people just quit too early. You know, do you have to be, I like to say you have to be committed to a psychotic level. You have to be like psychotically committed to your reason. You look at Steve Jobs, he broke into the computer terminal thing to do programming. Mm-hmm. Arnold Schwarzenegger broke into the gym to do it. I mean, these people are prickly personalities. They're not easy to get along with. They're committed to a psychotic level.
People do dismiss you very quickly when you start a company. You know, they assume, as Krem said, you know, nine out of ten startups fail, and they assume you're going to go by the wayside. And when you start becoming successful, they become begrudgingly respectful of you. And then when you become quite successful, suddenly they're your best friends, and you've got to kind of decide whether to remember the fact that they were disdainful or kind of forgive them.
Do you have that problem or?
In this part of the world, everyone like just claims that they are like the CEO, the founder, the managing director of something. So maybe in respect wise, I just like am at a stage where I'm just like growing. But when it comes to your comments, I think tenacity is what it takes to make it to the top, because like, you have to be determined enough, and you never just like let it go, because like over 50% of the people just give it up when they hear no. But it's another opportunity, so you just like have to explore it.
Don't talk, do. I mean, how many times, looking at you, Karim, you've said this, you're talking to someone and said, I really want to do something, I'm going to become an entrepreneur, and then you have the same conversation a year later and they haven't.
Like every one of my environment people, every one of them.
So let me ask both of you guys a question. Just answer it one after the other. You know, is passion overrated? If you had to choose between passion or tenacity, which one would you choose?
Please, John.
In my environment, it's got to be tenacity. We're not .com. We're not super creative. In fact, it would not be a good thing for a lawyer to be super creative.
I think some of them are.
They have been. I think they have been. I don't know what they're doing now.
So that's great. I mean, passion overrated. John thinks. What do you think?
In online businesses, I think passion is a must. Like you have to have a passion, success will follow. But there should be a balance of passion and tenacity. Like you just like cannot give in to your basic emotions. You have to be rational at certain stages.
So Karim's on the other side of the fence with passion. I'm with you. You know, I'm on the tenacity side, man, because I really think, you know, you have to push. I think once you're good at something, you become passionate about, right? And once you start winning, you're like, oh, I love this. This is great, right? But at the beginning, when you're getting whooped, it's like, this is not fun, but you push yourself through. I think people quit too early. I mean, that's the bottom line.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed here too.
So, guys, any last words as we head out here on the hour? John, do you have any last words?
I'd just like to say thanks very much. I've had an extra hour in your wonderful studio, completely by surprise, and we've really covered some good ground. So, thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming, John and Karim.
I would like to thank you so much. It's been like the maybe fastest like 40-45 minutes of my life, and basically just like. I would want to like say one last thing, like just people out there who want to start up their own thing, just find something that you really care about, you really are good at, and become the best at it.
Well, thank you so much. Hopefully we can have you on again sometime. We'll be watching your success blossom across the Middle East here, and we wish you well with Carmudi and of course with John, with Davidson and Company as well.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. So that's it for this episode of Eye on Careers. As we head into Ramadan, we're going to be having the best of shows for the next month, and we'll be back live on August. And until then, I wish you all luck in chasing your dreams. And this is Shane Phillips saying have a great summer holiday.